So Jesus continues his dialogue at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. And today he highlights the importance of humility. The importance of humility. Because he sort of paints this picture and he says when you come to a banquet, you should sit at the lowest place so that you're not embarrassed when you're kicked out of the highest place. Makes me wonder who was kicked out of the highest place that night. Probably somebody. But sit at the lower place so that when you're invited, you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. Because the one who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. And this virtue of humility is fundamental to our reflections on mercy. As we said before, mercy is the experience of being loved when we don't believe we deserve it. When it's unexpected. And so it takes a great amount of humility to be available to our Lord's mercy. We have to sort of own up to our own responsibility. And there's two ways of doing that. One is that we really acknowledge the pain in our lives that we have because this was my life. And the second is that in the midst of all of that, we start to recognize our own distortions. And any place where we might be at fault. To be keenly aware of our own faults. Because that experience of mercy happens when we recognize, even with my own faults, our Lord has loved me. You know, the cross is the place where our Lord has loved us while we were yet sinners. St. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the way he proclaims the gospel. Which is to say that when you were at your lowest, that's when our Lord loved you most. And so many times we forget that. Because we can come to believe that our Lord loves us because we've earned it. I have to earn my way back into our Lord's love. Monsignor Tucker told me, we have a lot of discussions like this. He was visiting the seventh grade classroom, and he said to the kids, "Do you know how much our Lord loves you?" And they all looked at him like, And then he said something like, "Do you really know how much our Lord loves you?" And this little girl raised her hand and she was like, "Well, we have to earn that." She's just a kid. And somehow she's got it in her head that she has to earn it. It's like the story I always tell about my sister who was cleaning up all my dirty clothes in the bathroom. And so she's upstairs cleaning up after me in the bathroom, and Mom asked her why she was doing that, and she said, maybe if I pick up his clothes off the floor, then he'll love me. And she was like 6. And she got this idea in her head that if she's good enough, if she acts good enough, if she does all the right things, then God will love her. Which isn't the gospel. And it's probably one of the most difficult things for us to internalize. It sounds really easy. Just let God love you. And yet, every time I say that, people are like, There's another kid that I was seeing, and he was forced to come to see me. And so we just talked for a while because his grandma made him come. And I would just, our conversations would be like, you don't want to be here, do you? Nope. Your grandma made you come? Yep. Okay. You want to talk about sports? Just anything. And then after a couple of months, I said, do you know how much God loves you? And he said, yeah, he loves everybody. It's kind of a half acknowledgement. I said, no, he really loves you. Yeah, he loves everybody. Like, everybody. And he only loves me insofar as I am a part of the everybody. He loves me because he has to, because he's God. It's kind of like a mom. She loves me because she has to. It's kind of like being a priest, actually. People can like tell me all kinds of things about themselves in confession because I have to keep a secret. They don't actually trust, necessarily, because there's this constraint. I was talking to my therapist one day, and she asked, we were talking about things, because I'm a really vulnerable person. I can share a lot about my life, but it's really hard for me to care that the person knows the information. Like, to trust them. Because then I actually have to let them care about me. And that's when it gets, like, really scary. And so this act of faith that we all made when we were kids, we're called to continually make every day of our life, is an act of handing ourselves over to our Lord and really trusting that he's going to take care of us. Just letting him love us. And that means that we let him love all of us. Like, we even let him love, like, that little compartmentalized part of our life that we keep secret. Like, I have to let Jesus love the fact that I watch Netflix till 1 a.m. sometimes. Or I have to let Jesus love the fact that I have difficult relationships with family members and I'm not very good at them. It doesn't mean he affirms it and thinks it's good and like you're good enough, but that he loved me even in that. He loved me when I was running away from him and was living a double life when I was an army officer. Our Lord says, like, nothing will be hidden that does not come to the light. And his great desire is to bring light into everything about our lives, so that we can truly live without shame in our lives. And our Lord wants to do that. He wants to do that. Sometimes I think we're afraid of being a sinner because we're afraid we're going to get punished or something. And that's not unfamiliar. In Scripture, when Adam and Eve sin, then they go hide from God. And God goes after them. It says during the breezy part of the day, God was walking in the garden. And then he finally has this encounter with Adam. And he says, "Where were you?" And Adam says, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." So Adam's not actually confessing his sin. He's trying to keep a secret. He's trying to keep it secret from God that he had eaten the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he says, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Kind of minimizing. It's like when you've had a really big blowout fight with somebody and you come to confession and you say, "I had a minor argument with my friend." People go to confession, they've had three affairs, they say, "I'm struggling a little bit with purity." It's like minimizing, not allowing our Lord full access to our life. But our Lord isn't satisfied with that minimizing. And God speaks the truth into him. And he says, "So then you've eaten the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And there must be this kind of relief that he doesn't have to hide from God anymore. He doesn't have to live with secrets anymore. This kind of relief that, okay, our Lord can know that about me. I don't have to spend all the energy keeping it a secret from him. Keeping secrets takes up a lot of our energy. Keeping secrets takes up a lot of our energy. And you all remember that. No matter how distant you are from your divorce. After you got divorced and your friend said, "So how are you holding up?" And you said, "Oh, I'm good." Inside, you're like falling apart. "I'm good. I've got Jesus." Inside, you're going, "Jesus, where are you?" It takes up a lot of our energy. And it's a lot easier to just give up and surrender to him. To give up and surrender to him. And that's what our Lord wants. That's the truth that we all speak in the midst of our pain, but we don't realize we're saying something true. I was helping somebody who had an addiction, and they're like a lot of trauma in their life and things like that. And they constantly say things to me like, "Father, I just want to give up." Now, what they're saying is they want to give up trying to get over their problem. But what they really need to do is to give up fighting our Lord off and just kind of surrender into him. Because the only place we find joy and healing is when we surrender our life into him. And we just allow him there. Because for most of us, when we look into our hearts, there's things and we're just like, "Oh my gosh, if anybody knew this, I would be at the very bottom end of that table." But when we let our Lord in, that's when he says, "Come and take a higher place." Our Lord has zeal for you. Our Lord has zeal for you. And so today, let us pray that going into this afternoon, for the grace to make a really good examination of conscience. To identify those areas of our life. Like, whatever, what's the scariest thing that you could give God access to? And pray for the grace to give him access to it so that he can heal it. This afternoon we'll have time for confessions. You know, pray for the grace to make a good, complete confession so that it truly is an encounter with mercy. So that we truly do experience ourselves being called to that higher place. Which is that place of dignity. Of being a beloved son or daughter of the Father.